This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Everyone joining us across the globe for our 22nd day of Ramadan 360 with Al-Maghrib Institute. Our aim at Al-Maghrib has always been to make knowledge easy and accessible for the last 20 years. And alhamdulillah, this Ramadan community has been a testament to that and an honor every year to reconnect and to have this experience with you all, alhamdulillah. For those who are watching the recording, jazakallah khair for making time with us. And for those who are watching live, an extra jazakallah khair to you as well for sacrificing your time, especially during these blessed last 10 nights. And mashallah, so many of you coming in during your nighttime hours and making us part of your ibadah. So may Allah accept from you and always, as always, keep us in your du'as. May Allah reunite us in this world and the hereafter in the highest ranks of Jannah. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Alhamdulillah, today's topic, by the way, we had a slight switch up in the topic. So just to update you guys, the topic Sheikh Abdul Bari is covering, inshallah, is living in denial. And it's going to be on Surah Al-Mudathir, verses number 11 to 20. We covered Surah Al-Mudathir verses, the first five verses a few days ago with Sheikh Muhammad Faqih. So I'm excited, inshallah, to continue that with Sheikh Abdul Bari Yahya today. And of course, we're going to have Sheikh Ahmed Salim back with us to do our Quran Reflect session, inshallah, and dive deep into these verses as well. If someone beats me in the chat, please feel free, inshallah, to link those verses here for everyone. Otherwise, inshallah, I'll grab it right after the live session. I do want to highlight, inshallah, for today, alhamdulillah, you guys have had a chance to hear from our partners in the UK and in Canada. And finally, after a long-awaited period, alhamdulillah, you guys will have a chance to hear from our amazing friends at Helping Hands for Relief and Development in the U.S. I really love the focus of their campaign. It's called Dare to Care this year for Ramadan. And the main focus that they have right now is basically just helping those who are food insecure. Those who don't have, you know, their basic necessities, they don't have a roof over their heads, for orphans who are longing for support, for people going to bed without a drop of water or going to bed thirsty, and for children who deserve access to an equal education. These are all focuses that they've had in the past. But right now, they really want to focus on those who simply just do not have enough food to eat every single day, who go hungry, who lose weight, and who cannot manage their daily functions, subhanAllah. I was just literally looking. It's a little embarrassing sometimes when you compare our lifestyles and our kind of standards and what's normal for us, and then what's unfortunately normal for those in other unfortunate parts of the world. And I was just looking at the price of a buffet meal, and then I just clicked on at a restaurant nearby, and then I clicked on the Helping Hands link, and subhanAllah, the exact price that I was about to pay for a buffet meal at a nice little restaurant with some friends was the exact price to pay for somebody's food for a month. And that was kind of like jarring, subhanAllah. I know it's been really weird the last few years, especially with the increase in prices. And we finally in the West have felt that pain of, you know, grocery shopping and, you know, having the prices skyrocket and be so unaffordable and so difficult, and inflation, exactly. And subhanAllah, that's the first kind of feeling that we have is like, oh, that pinches my pocket a little bit more than it used to. It's a little bit more difficult. But subhanAllah, that hits, first of all, inflation impacts every part of the world. It hits the, you know, unfortunate or less fortunate parts of the world even more. And they've always had that struggle already on top of you know, the struggle, the lack of access to food, the lack of access to water, just really, really basic needs. And they're not getting five-star meals. They're getting literally just enough to keep them nourished and to keep them alive. So please do support HHRD in their campaign. The link for the campaign I'm going to drop here in the chat. It's just hhrd.org/Al-Maghrib. There's a lot of other options of where you can donate, inshallah, but that's the part that really resonates, and that's what they're focusing on, inshallah, as we close off Ramadan, so that we don't leave anybody hungry in our ummah. And I see that Sheikh is with us as well. The link, the title for our topic for today, for day 22 of Ramadan 360, is Living in Denial, Surah Al-Mudathir, verses number 11 to 20. I'm very excited to have the Sheikh jump into it. Yes, alhamdulillah, Rijwan, Allah has blessed us with so, so much. And the fact that we don't ever have to worry about when we're going to eat or how we're going to eat, it's just what we're going to eat. Alhamdulillah for that. But subhanAllah, the fact that we live in a world that other Muslims don't have that luxury, and that they go to sleep hungry, they go to sleep crying, they go to sleep stressed about their next meal, whether or not they'll be able to survive, you know, and whether or not they'll be able to live long lives, subhanAllah. So please do support hhrd.org/Al-Maghrib. And with that, inshallah, I do want to take a second and jump into today's session. Make sure that you guys are ready. Really enjoy these last few sessions. I feel like they, you know, now I'm treasuring every gem, every moment. Before it was like, oh, there's going to be 25 more sessions to go. I'll relax this one. Now I'm like, let's take notes. Let's make sure we get every single gem out of this. Let's eat every single bit of reward and ajr out of this. So alhamdulillah, I see Sheikh is back. Our Sheikh is with us. So inshallah, let's jump into the session. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi Sheikh Abdul Bari. How are you doing today?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, I'm doing very well. Alhamdulillah. It's nice to be on.
Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh. It's such a pleasure to have you back with us. We're excited to jump into your topic, inshallah, for day number 22. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of engagement and questions that we have for you at the end, inshallah. Anything that you can share with us? I know we're now in like we're well into the last 10 nights, the third of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Anything that you particularly do to make sure that you get yourself in the zone and that you make the most of your ibadah during this time?
Alhamdulillah, you know, the best part, ibadah, worship that we can do is actually just following the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anytime people ask, what should I be doing right now, and what's the most beneficial or most rewarding act, if you look at different acts of worship, each act of worship is for specific time periods. And how do you find out which is best for which period? Well, you look at the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course, during Ramadan, we have, you know, six major acts of worship. And of course, it's, you know, fasting, prayer at nighttime, recitation of the Quran, giving charity. But then when you look at the last 10 nights of Ramadan, what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent his time in the masjid. And so that's i'tikaf, or if you're not able to do i'tikaf, try to increase in your time, spending your time in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the, of course, in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best thing you can do. And the best place you can be is in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's, of course, it's the most blessed time of the year for us in terms of with the last 10 nights of Ramadan, inshallah. So trying to go to the masjid and stay in the masjid and be in the masjid as much as you can, inshallah.
Beautiful advice. Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh. With that, bismillah, let's start off your topic for day number 22 of Ramadan 360. Bismillah.
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa al-aqibatu lil-muttaqeen wa la udwana illa ala al-zalimeen wa usalli wa usallim ala ashraf al-anbiya wa al-mursaleen nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd. We all hear about Abu Jahl. When in Mecca, and of course in Medina, we hear about Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, yeah, and we hear about the munafiqun and the hypocrites and those who oppose the da'wah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And but in Mecca, there was one person who was extremely, extremely influential. People looked up to him, and people, they raised his status to the point where, you know, they have names for him. And it's, he was so wealthy, so influential, that he was the one that he would take care of the Kaaba, the covering of the Kaaba, for 1 year, and the rest of the Quraysh would take care of it the next year. And when they built the Kaaba, when the Kaaba was after the flood, it was damaged, and the Quraysh wanted to rebuild the Kaaba. They waited for his actions first, and so he was the first to go on top of the Kaaba and to take and to, you know, to demolish and take the bricks. And when he did so, no one else, of course, would dare do so before him. And when he did so, the Quraysh actually waited a whole day. They waited a whole day to see if something would happen to him. And so after he started the process of demolishing the Kaaba, they waited, and the next day nothing happened. And when nothing happened, then of course, then everybody else said, okay, it's okay. Now, yeah, we can do it. And so this was a man who was extremely rich. He was extremely rich. His gardens and his land, his wealth that he had stretched as far as the eye can see, in terms of between Mecca, the areas between Mecca and Taif. He was greatly respected, and so much so that he himself, of course, he denied. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent the Quran and chose the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the Prophet, his Prophet and Messenger, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Why is this Quran revealed to Muhammad?" Why am I not chosen? And I'm the leader of the Quraysh. I'm the leader of the Quraysh. And I'm, you know, of course, he's the most respected of them. And why is Abu Mas'ud, Amr ibn Umayr al-Thaqafi, Sayyid al-Thaqif? These are, and another person was that was the most respected in Thaqif, who was Abu Mas'ud Amr ibn Umayr al-Thaqafi from the tribe of Thaqif. He said, why aren't we, like one of us should be, not Muhammad. And so he says, فَنَحْنُ عَظِيمَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ. We are the leaders of these two tribes. It doesn't mean that, you know, the Prophet ﷺ was not noble or anything like that. No, he was also mentioning the fact that he was also older than the Prophet ﷺ, older in terms of his age. And of course, he was also from the rivaling tribe of Banu Hashim, which was Banu Makhzum. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed concerning him, وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَىٰ رَجِلٍ مِّنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٍ. And they say that, why hasn't this Qur'an been revealed to a man, of the one of the men, of the two great cities, why is it not one of these? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this. And in the Quran, there are so many verses in the Quran about actually Al-Walid ibn Mughira. And I just mentioned that his name is Al-Walid ibn Mughira. The verses in the Quran that were revealed concerning him, compared to all the other leaders of the Quraysh, like every single, you'll see that he was chastised because of this, because of what the respect that he had and the opposition, his opposition towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he himself, of course, he thought that he should have been that person who was chosen. So to think that in and of itself is your admittance that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is truly a prophet and messenger of God, right? Just admitting that, like, hey, why wasn't it revealed to me? Why wasn't it revealed to me? Like, I should have been a prophet and messenger of God because of who I am. So he's thinking about his intrinsic merit. And so this, of course, this takabbur, this arrogance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ مَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ مِنْ كِبْرٍ. Nobody enters paradise, he who has an Adam's weight of arrogance in his heart. And so this arrogance and him thinking that his status and so forth, this was one of the major thing that prevented him from accepting the message of the Quran, the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I mentioned, revealed many verses, and amongst the verses that we revealed concerning Al-Walid ibn Mughira was the verse in Surah Al-Muddathir. The verses actually in Surah Al-Muddathir, which we will inshallah cover right now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, sent the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the Meccans and to the Arabs, and of course later on to all of mankind, to all of humanity. And it was the time for Hajj was coming, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would always approach the different tribes and approach the pilgrims who were coming calling them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, calling them to the Quran, calling them to al-Islam. And so the people of the Quraysh, they wanted to agree. They wanted to agree upon something to call the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that it would be more acceptable, because you can't have someone saying this and that about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Somebody said that he's a madman, or another person says, oh no, he's a magician, and another person says that he's a soothsayer. They're going to say, hey, the Quraysh, you guys don't know anything about, you know what, you don't even know, you can't even agree upon who he is. How are you going to attack someone when everybody's like saying this and that? You guys yourself are confused. And so in order for them to have more weighty influence upon some of the people who are coming to Mecca, they had to at least be united on what they called the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Al-Walid ibn Mughirah, of course, was extremely respected, and he was a very, very eloquent poet also. He was known for his eloquence. Besides his position and status and respect, he was known for his eloquence also. And so he went. So the people were saying, like, oh, Walid, say something about Muhammad. Say something about him. And so he went. He went to listen to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reciting. And the Messenger of Allah sallam continued to recite and recite, and it was affecting him so much that he told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, by Allah, I ask you, stop. I ask you to stop. And so he leaves the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And of course, the leaders of the Quraysh, the aristocrats and the elders, they're listening to what Al-Walid ibn Mughirah has to say when he comes back, because his words are extremely influential. And so he comes back and he says to the gathering, he says, wallahi, so by Allah, laqad sami'tu min Muhammadin anifan kalaman ma huwa min kalamin ins. He said, by Allah, I just heard from Muhammad just right now words, these are not the words of man, of any man. وَلَا مِنْ كَلَامِ الْجِنِ. And it is not the word of any jinn also. He said, إِنَّهُ إِنَّ لَهُ لَحَلَاوَ. He said, it just has this sweetness in it. It just has this sweetness in it. وَإِنَّ عَلَيْهِ لَطَلَاوَ. And it just adorns and beautifies. And if you put it, it's like putting on your clothes or covering with something. When you cover it with the Quran, when you have the Quran on it, it just beautifies everything. وَإِنَّ عَلَاهُ لَمُثْمِرُ. And it's like a tree that the top of which the branches bear fruits. وَإِنَّ أَسْفَلَهُ لَمُعْدِقُ. And he says, indeed, the bottom has springs like water coming out. وَإِنَّهُ يَعْلُو وَمَا يُعْلَى عَلَيْهِ. And it conquers and it cannot be conquered. It overcomes and it cannot be overcome. These words, this description of the Quran by Al-Walid ibn Mughirah is one of the most beautiful descriptions, actually, of the Quran. It's one of the most beautiful descriptions of the Quran. And he, of course, describes it in such a beautiful manner. And of course, I said that he's extremely eloquent. So these words, of course, are going to be very influential. And and people are listening to him. And everybody's hearing this. And so the people, the elders are looking at each other. This is not what we were looking for. We want him to attack Muhammad. We want him to attack the Quran. We want him to say, what should we say? Because before this, they said they sent another ibn al-Harith, another nemesis of the Muslims, Islam in the Muslims. And he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "These are just asatir al-awwaleen. These are just stories and fables of those of before. That's all they are." And so, of course, that's more acceptable to the Quraysh and the elders and the aristocrats in Mecca who rejected the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But what Al-Walid bin Mughira had just said is not acceptable. This is not what we want to hear. And this is not what we want the other people to hear when people are coming. Someone of this great influence describing the Quran in such a beautiful manner. He says, this is not the words of anyone, any man or jinn. It's just sweet. And it beautifies everything. It's just so beautiful. And it gives so much fruits. And it's like, it's so refreshing. It's sweet like a tree, like the fruits of a tree, and refreshing like a spring that's gushing from the bottom of the tree. And it, you know, it's so amazing. You know how the Arabs before, they used to have poetry competitions. They have poetry competitions, and they would give prizes to the most eloquent poems and the best poems. They would get together, and the best poems would be hung in the Kaaba itself. And Al-Walid ibn Mughira, when he hears this, the Quran, he says, "You know, there's no competition. There is no one. There is no one that's going to be able to overcome and conquer the words of the Quran. You can't win. You can't win. Everything else is child's play." That's why some of the poets, when they heard the Quran, the beauty of the Quran in terms of its beauty, eloquence, and even in the meaning, they just stopped. They just quit. They didn't say any more poetry because it's like child's play. And that's one of the miracles of the Quran. And this is a description by someone who hated the Muslims, but he couldn't deny it. He couldn't deny it. And so the Quraysh, they couldn't let this continue. They had to do something about it. So Abu Jahl, he says, you know, after all of this happened and the Quraysh are discussing the matter, like, hey, we can't accept this. Yeah, and so he said, "Ana akfikumuhu." He said, "Don't worry, let me take care of it. Let me take care of it." So Abu Jahl, of course, Fir'aun of this ummah, he says, I'll take care of it. I'll take care of this problem right now. So they have what? They have a PR disaster. Now somebody who's like, you know, they're trying to attack the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's like someone who's, you know, attacking Islam, saying bad things about Islam, and this someone who's so influential, someone who maybe the president of the United States or somebody who is very, very famous, describes Islam or says something favorable about Islam. You don't want that to get around, right? Because it affects other people. Now people are going to be curious, even more curious. And so he goes to Abu Jahl, of course, goes to Al-Walid ibn Mughira. And he says, he makes this sad face. Like, look at this guy, look at this loser. He's trying to deceive Al-Walid. And he says, Al-Walid sees him in such in that state. Sees him so sad, he says, "Mali araka hazinan, ya ibn akhi." He says, "Why is it that I see you so sad? Why are you so sad?" And he said, "Why shouldn't I be sad? Why shouldn't I be sad?" And the Quraysh, I'm hearing that the Quraysh are like gathering money and they're giving it to you because they want to help you because you've become, you know, you're an elder, you know, you're getting a little bit old. And they're like trying to give you money because you've adorned the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And And so he says, of course, this is all a lie. He's just lying. The Quraysh are not doing this. But he's trying to play with his his feelings. And why? Because, of course, Al-Walid Mughira is rich. He doesn't need any money. And so they're trying to say that, you know, the Quraysh want to gather, give you money and so forth because of what you're, you know, they're trying to, you know, change your mind, and they're giving you, you know, trying to, in other words, buy you out. So because of what you've just said. And he says, is that what you're hearing from the Quraysh? Is that what you're hearing from the Quraysh? He says, don't they know that I'm one of the most wealthy people? Like, I don't need their money. He says, I don't need their money. I don't need any of that. And he says, okay, then say something that, you know, that will please them. In other words, say something that, you know, like an attack of Muhammad and the Quran, attack the Prophet, attack Muhammad, instead of saying what you've just said. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then reveals the verses in Surah Al-Mudathir describing this interaction, describing this whole incident. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَرْنِي وَمَنْ خَلَقْتُ وَحِيدًا. Leave me and with the one I created alone. And so leave me and the one I've created alone. And so, of course, right now, Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira has rejected the Quran publicly. Of course, then the Quraysh don't like it. So, but what is he going to say? The Prophet ﷺ is worried also, you know, like, the all of this drama that's going on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, leave me alone, I'll take care of him. You know, I will take care of him. Take care of who? Walid ibn Mughira. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْتُ لَهُ مَالًا مَمْدُودًا. And to him, and to whom we have granted extensive wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we gave him so much wealth. And yes, he was one of the most wealthy of the people of Mecca. And I mentioned about his garden earlier, gardens and his wealth, the money that he had. He actually built, you know, the rest of the Quraysh, they built the Kaaba. He contributed to 1/4 of it himself, by himself. And Allah says, وَبَنِينَ شُهُودَ. And we gave him children also, presented with him. And he had, of course, children, especially sons, were very, very, you know, were considered a source of a power and respect. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَهَدْتُ لَهُ تَمْهِيدًا. وَمَهَدْتُ لَهُ تَمْهِيدًا. And we spread everything before him, easing his life. And Allah made everything easy for him. Allah gave him this dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him this dunya. ثُمَّ يَتْمَعُ أَنْ أَزِيدَ. And then he wants more. He still wants more. Like at that age, like this shows you the mentality of some of the wealthy people. They're so rich. They want more. Even though they could retire and quit and just stop whatever they're doing and have enough money for themselves and their children and grandchildren and so forth, but they still want more. And in that point, your life is not going to change. It's only a number, but they still want more. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Kalla, innahu kana li ayatina anida." No, this is the end. No. Why? Because he has been towards our verse obstinate. This is the end. It's over. "Kalla, innahu kana li ayatina anida." So what do we learn from this verse? If you're thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, humble yourself. Be thankful for the blessings of Allah. Allah will continue to give. If you reject and be obstinate and not be obedient and not follow the Quran and the Sunnah, kalla innahu kana li ayatina anida. No, that's over. We're not going to give you anymore. So urhiquhu sa'uda. We will cover him with an arduous torment. Innahu fakkara wa qaddar. And so now he's in that situation with the Quraysh and also with Abu Jahl now. And he's thinking, okay, what can I say? Well, he's already said about the Quran what he has to say and what he believes. But you know what? Even though he said that because the Quraysh did not accept it, now he's trying to please them. He's in a position of strength and power and influence, but he's trying to please the Quraysh now. And he's thinking, إِنَّهُ فَكَّرَ وَقَدَّرَ فَقُتِلَ كَيْفَ قَدَّرَ, and destroyed and cursed is what he's deliberating and he's thinking about. ثُمَّ قُتِلَ كَيْفَ قَدَّرَ, then may he be destroyed how he deliberated. And then he's thinking and reflecting. ثُمَّ نَظَرَ, then he considered again. He started to, you know, reflect again. ثُمَّ عَبَسَ وَبَصَرَ, then he frowned and scowled. ثُمَّ أَدْبَرَ وَاسْتَكْبَرَ, then he turned back and was arrogant, turned back in arrogance. And what did he say to them, to the Quraysh? And what did he say to Abu Jahl to please them after saying such beautiful words about the Quran? فَقَالَ إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا سِحْرٌ يُؤْثَرُ, and he said, this is not but magic. يُؤْثَر, imitated, I mean from others before. This is just like same magic that the people had before. Inha, so he's a magician. And so that's why the majority of the Quraysh now have agreed to call him a magician. Inha illa qawlul bashar. This is not but the word of a human being. What did he just say before? He just contradicted himself. He said, this is not a word of any man nor jinn. And now he says, oh, inha illa qawlul bashar. No, this is not but the word of a human being. Sa'uslihi saqar. I will drive him into the saqar. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا سَقَرْ, and what can make you know what is سَقَرْ, لَا تُبِقِي وَلَا تَذَرْ, it lets nothing remain and leaves nothing unburned. لَوَّاحَةٌ لِلْبَشَرْ, altering, meaning blackening the skin. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals this verse describing this whole incident with Al-Walid ibn Mughira. So what's the lesson that we learn here? Like when you see the truth, call it the truth and follow it. Because once you see the truth and you reject it, that's arrogance. Al-kibr batar al-haq. Arrogance is rejecting the truth. Wa ghamtu an-nas, and also belittling other people. So he was arrogant and he belittled others. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thinking that he should have been a prophet. And that alone in itself, that alone itself should have been that admittance, that was an admittance that what the Prophet had was the truth. But his arrogance refused to allow him to accept. And he was in such a great position of influence. But alhamdulillah, from him, you know, one of his children, the three of his children, Al-Walid, Ibn al-Walid, Ibn al-Mughira, was a Muslim, and he was one of the Sahaba that was very strong in faith and iman, and it was through him also that another companion, his brother, accepted Islam, and Hisham ibn al-Walid also was a brother, was his brother also al-Walid, the son of al-Walid ibn al-Mughira. So Al-Walid ibn Mughira has a son by the name Al-Walid also. So Al-Walid ibn Al-Walid ibn Mughira, then Hisham. And then there's another great companion. Anybody know who that companion was? Yes, it was Khalid. None other than Khalid ibn Walid. Khalid ibn Walid. Sayfullah al-Maslul, the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khalid ibn Walid was the son of Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, even though his father was obstinate. And his father rejected. And I want you to just, if you want to know who Al-Walid ibn Mughira was, look for all the verses. There are so many verses actually that were revealed. And I don't know anyone whom the Quran like attacked or spoke about in terms of the attacks and the rebuttal against Al-Walid ibn Mughira more than some of the others. And so there are many other verses, of course, that were revealed because he was so respected, whatever he said. But he, even though he knew that this was the truth, and his description of the Quran is one of the most beautiful descriptions of the Quran from someone who didn't believe, but the reason was because of his arrogance. Deep down in his heart, he knew that that was true, the truth, and the other leaders of the Quraysh also knew that that was the truth, but they because of their arrogance, thinking of their intrinsic merit, thinking that they are better than everybody else, that's what prevented some of them from accepting. And these were the elders, and of course, Al-Walid ibn Mughira was one of the elders. He died at the age of, past 90, in the third year after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he was one of the most elder amongst the Quraysh. But the lesson that we learn from here also is that, you know, when you see the truth, follow it and call to it. Don't turn away from it, because look at the warning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions. You know what? Your wealth, your reputation, whatever you have will not avail you if you don't accept la ilaha illallah. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us firm upon his deen until the end. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.
Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Jazakumullah khair, Shaykh. Subhanallah, that was such a beneficial reminder. Anyone who has questions, inshallah, for Shaykh Abdul Bari, please stick around, inshallah. We are going to be doing a bit of a Q&A at the end, inshallah, so that you guys can get your questions asked or answered on the topic that we are covering today, inshallah ta'ala. Last few opportunities, inshallah, to do that. And speaking of which, subhanallah, as we're getting close to the end of Ramadan, we're eking out the last few opportunities to multiply our rewards to get as much out of, get as much ajr, get as much accepted deeds out of this month as possible. And this night is one of the biggest opportunities to do that, not only it being an odd night, but it being the night of Jummah, subhanAllah, where I know so many of you are excited. Those of you who are in the UK already taking advantage and making us part of this night, Jazakumullah khair. And with that, I want to take an opportunity, inshallah, to introduce our special guest, Brother Mirza from HHRD. You guys have been really, really generously supporting our charity sponsors for this Ramadan and giving as much as you can. Alhamdulillah, that's the most beautiful thing about this community, is that we get together and we change lives. So I encourage you guys to do that again, inshallah, with us today, and stick around for any Q&As, any questions that you have for Sheikh Abdul Bari. I'm going to just play a quick little intro, inshallah. You guys let me know if you guys can hear things clearly, inshallah, and then we'll get a chance to hear some beneficial reminders as well. Bismillah.
Generosity, kindness, sharing, and caring. These are the essence of Ramadan. It's about doing better, being better, and helping make this world a better place. With Helping Hand USA, you can help feed, nourish, heal, educate, and empower struggling families worldwide. Dare to make a lasting impact and change lives. Dare to care. Donate today at hhrd.org/Ramadan.
So the link is actually hhrd.org/Al-Maghrib, inshallah. I'll drop that in the chat for you guys as well, right in 1 second. And I'd love to welcome our brother Mirza. Bismillah. I'll pass it off to you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Alhamdulillah, just getting a little bit of that, of the taste of today's program, mashallah. I was only here for about 15 minutes, but mashallah, I can see the benefits and the, just the gems that we get from the Quran. And we're at the home stretch, we're about a week away from that finish line. Subhanallah, and how quickly does it go? It really just, you have to consider making use of every single opportunity presented to you when it comes to these moments, these waning moments of Ramadan. Considering it seems like yesterday that we sighted the moon and we started fasting and we started praying Tarawih and the such. And, now in our WhatsApp groups, we're seeing, Khatm al-Quran is tonight over here, tomorrow night over there, it's subhanAllah, crazy. The finish line is right there. And Ibn al-Jawzi, rahimahullah, he commented on this finish line with a very beautiful saying as it pertains to Ramadan. And he said that the racehorse, when it sees that finish line, when it sees, the end of that race, it starts to exert that much more energy, that much more effort, starts to empty out the tank, as they say, in order to win that race, in order to reach that finish line first, right? And he said, don't let the racehorse outsmart you. You know, don't let the racehorse outsmart you as the worshiper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month of Ramadan. So because the deeds, they're judged by their conclusions, as the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes, the authentic hadith, that the deeds are judged by their conclusions. Right? So he said, if you didn't do well in welcoming the month of Ramadan in these first, in our case, in the first 23 days, or 22 days and coming on 23, then do well in bidding it farewell, right? And in seeing it through and seeing that finish line and seeing that the end of that race. Okay? Because this race, it's the most important race of our lives. It's the most important competition of our lives. It's, you know, it's what we as worshipers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's what we strive for. The end of that race, the prize that awaits at the end of that race, which is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the maghfirah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? The dua that we make on the odd nights, Allahumma innaka afuwun tuhibbul afu fa'afu an, right? Allah, you're the one who pardons, you love to pardon, so pardon me. Right? So that prize of Jannah, of mercy, and all these prizes that are awaiting the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month of Ramadan, right? And when it comes to earning that prize and how accessible it is to each and every single one of us, I wanted to quote a hadith that is in Sunan Ibn Majah, and is an authentic hadith of when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually first arrived in Medina, and Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu an, he narrates the hadith, and he said, you know, when I saw him and I saw his face, I knew this wasn't the face of a liar. Right, I knew this wasn't the face of somebody who would be lying to me. And he said this. He said the first words that I heard out of his mouth, and when he arrived in Medina, it's sort of like his inauguration speech. You know, as he's coming to Medina, being the governor of Medina. He's Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is giving the first address to the people of Medina. Of course, the Muhajirun, the people from Mecca, they've already heard him speak, but the people from Medina, they never hear him speak live for the vast majority of them. The first words that came out of his mouth, he said, Ayyuhan nas, O people, afshu salam, spread the salam, wa at'imu at'am, and feed the hungry, wasilu al-arham, and keep the ties of kinship, wa sallu bil-layli wan-nasu niyam, and pray at night while others are sleeping. تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامٍ. You will enter Jannah with salam. You will enter Jannah with peace. And subhanAllah, you think about this month, and you know, and what we're, you know, what and the things that we're doing in this month as it pertains to this hadith, right? أَفْشُ السَّلَامِ, spreading the salam, right? Every single night we gather at the masjid, we're seeing our brothers, we're seeing our sisters, and we're giving them salam. We're, you know, it's a wondrous occasion, right? The ending of the hadith, وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسِ نِيَامًا, the tarawih prayer, standing at night while others are sleeping. People are sleeping, and subhanAllah, you're worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? In the middle there, that's, you know, that's up to you to take advantage of. وَأَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامُ, feeding the hungry, right? Feeding those who are hungry, وَصِلُ الْأَرْحَامِ, and keeping the ties of kinship, right? تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامِ, you will enter Jannah with salam. So that Jannah is right there for the taking, especially in this month, Ramadan, right? And Sheikh Yahya, he was, you know, commenting on some ayat from Surah Al-Mudathir. In this very same surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Ashabul Yameen and the people of the right, the people that will receive the book in their right hand, right, on Yom Al Qiyamah, and they will be conferring with each other and discussing, you know, and then they will be asking the people of Jahannam, the people of the fire, right? They say, they will ask them, what, you know, ma salakakum fi saqar, what drove you, what made you, you know, be amongst the people of the fire? They will say, qalu lam nakum min al musallin, we were not amongst those who prayed, wa lam nakum mut'imul miskin, and we were not those who fed the hungry, right? Well, not among those who fed the hungry. Right? And so many ayats as it pertains to feeding the hungry, right? Surah Al-Balad, and being amongst Ashab al-Yameen again. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْأَقَبَ فَكُّ رَقَبَ أَوْ إِطْعَامٌ فِي يَوْمٍ ذِي مَسْغَبَ, right? What is that hard path? It is freeing the slave. It is feeding the hungry on the day that is on a day of famine, on a day that is, you know, full of hunger, right? أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْمَيْمَنَةِ, right? These are the people of the right. These are the people of the right hand, right? So this is that month, and these are those opportunities that we cannot let go by the wayside. In Sahih al-Bukhari, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was described as ajwadun nas. He was described as the most generous of people, right? And he said, wa ajwadu ma yakunu fi Ramadan. And he used to be even more generous in the month of Ramadan when Jibril alayhi salam would come visit him, right? And he said, Abdullah ibn Abbas, narrated the hadith, he said, أَجْوَدُ بِالْخَيْرِ مِنْ رِيحِ الْمُرْسَلَةِ, that he would be more generous than a fast wind, that, you know, the fast wind that spreads the rain and it helps grow the crops and all this, you know, he would be more generous than that. And he would be covering, you know, anybody that needed his generosity would receive his generosity. And in these months and these waning moments of Ramadan, again, taking advantage, and that's the key word, taking advantage of these moments, of these waning moments, and multiplying the reward. Who knows that, you know, tonight, as Sister Hafsa mentioned, you know, it's the evening before Jum'ah. It is Jum'ah after Maghrib tonight, and it is an odd night. So it's an opportunity for Laylatul Qadr, and it's the opinion of many shuyukh and many scholars that this is a one of the strongest signs of Laylatul Qadr, that it's leaning into Jum'ah, right? So with that being said, I'm here on behalf of Helping Hand for Relief and Development, one of the charity partners with Al Maghrib Institute. And this Ramadan, we're focusing on feeding the hungry, feeding those who don't have anything to, you know, don't have the amenities that we have, you know, going to the fridge, getting the ruh hafza and the dates and all this, you know. SubhanAllah, they're people that they don't have those amenities, right? So we're able to provide in these moments of Ramadan, we're able to provide food for those who don't have it, right? Over 800 million people in this world, worldwide, they are hungry, right? They go to sleep on an empty stomach. And 345 million of those, they're facing severe hunger, right? So many of these countries, they're Muslim countries. They're our brothers and sisters. And, you know, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, If you were the one that stepped up to the plate and you said, I'm going to be one of those who are going to feed these people, these individuals, they will be witnessing and bearing witness for you on Yawm al-Qiyamah, right? These are the people that are making dua for you in this worldly life. They're raising their hands saying, Ya Allah, provide me a way, and you can be that way, right? So if you follow this link, hhrd.org, you'll see it in the chat, hhrd.org/al-maghrib. You can sponsor two families of five, and sponsor the food for 15 days. And you can do much more than that, of course, if you wish. But for just $100, and you just think about our groceries, and, you know, every 2 weeks, we probably spend this amount anyway. We are able to feed two families in the month of Ramadan. And what better way to see the end of the month of Ramadan, afshu salam, right? Spreading the salam as we've been doing at the masjid. We pray at night, sallu bil-layli wa nasu niyam. We pray at night while others are sleeping. Now take care of those other two things, right? At-ta'imu at-ta'am wa sallu al-arham wa sallu al-arham. Feeding the hungry and keeping the ties of kinship. So feed the hungry in this month of Ramadan. Do what you can for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if you can't give 100, give whatever you can for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows your condition. He knows, he knows what you have, and giving, and it can be even much more rewarding. Even if you don't have it or you don't have that much, you give whatever you can, you know, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you immensely just because you took part and you sacrificed from your own will. So with that being said, jazakumullahu khairan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from all of us, and seeing that end of that finish line, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to see us through to that finish line. and make us amongst Ashabul Yameen, amongst the people of the right. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and ameen to your du'as. Jazakallah khair, Brother Mirza, for that beautiful reminder, and jazakallah khair to all of you who have already clicked the link and started to support, mashallah, and who are helping others troubleshoot their own donations as well. That once again, the link is hhrd.org/almaghrib. And I think there's so much that has already been said, subhanAllah, in that reminder as well. But just keep in mind, subhanAllah, not only are we, for some of you on the East Coast, you're in the last hour or two before Maghrib, so also a very blessed time. And for those of you, mashallah, in the UK and the rest of the world, Singapore, Australia, etc., you guys are, the last couple hours left of the night, or the last few minutes left of the night. So please multiply your rewards with us. Join us in supporting HHRD, as you guys have generously supported so many other causes this Ramadan, and make sure that you are supporting the most essential, the most simple cause that you can think of, just basically not letting someone go hungry at night, someone who has no other source of sustenance. Please do click that link, share it with others as well. It doesn't have to be just you. If you can only support maybe one family or a couple people, share it with your family group chats, share it on your WhatsApp, on your Telegrams, and everywhere else, inshallah, as well, so that you can get that ajr of that share and get that ajr of anyone else who supports that link. I'll drop it in the chat periodically today as well, inshallah. And jazakallah khair once again for HHRD for your amazing work. They do all the hard work. This is my thing. Charities do all. They find the people in need. They make links. They give them access to the resources. All we have to do is support them. All we have to do is give a little bit of financial contribution so that they can continue doing the hard work that they're doing on the ground, inshallah. And may Allah reward all of you who are continuing to do that. I know there was one question I did see before we jump into our Quran Reflect session, inshallah, for today. Someone had a question about Salah in the chat. I'll see if I can find it, inshallah. I think it was Layla who did drop that. And as soon as I find it, we'll ask that. Sheikh Abdul Bari, I believe you're still with us, inshallah. So we'll finish off with the question before we jump into Quran Reflect. And if someone can bump it for me, I would be super, super appreciative for you guys to do that, inshallah. And I got a couple of private messages. I'll get back to you guys as soon as I can, inshallah. Bismillah. Layla, if you can drop it to me, that would be so. Oh, I see it again. Lynn, sorry. What was the difference between arrogance in the prayer and feeling so much love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the heart spills over and tears come, and I make dua that all get the reward of Jannat al-Firdaus? Sheikh, bismillah, I'll pass it to you.
Myself, alhamdulillah. What is the difference between arrogance in prayer and feeling so much love for Allah? I don't know what you mean by arrogance in prayer. It might be like when a person, of course, in prayer, one is supposed to be in a state of humility. And so that's why even any type of action that would symbolize a little bit of arrogance is actually prohibited in prayer, like somebody rolling up their sleeves or putting your hands to your side, any of those types of actions that would nullify the state of humility and humbleness, of course, is not something that is permissible. But also at the same time, I think it might be somebody might thinking about arrogance in prayer, meaning when a person prays, in Islam we have something that's called al-ghurur, meaning you think you've done so much, you're better than the other person. And when that type of ghurur, that type of feeling comes into a person's heart, that's the arrogance that can actually nullify a person's deeds, because it affects your heart and affects your sincerity. And that's why whenever you're doing something, of course, one of the things that you have to do is to continue to ask Allah to accept from you. You never know if Allah accepted it from you or not. And so you're always in a state of hoping that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts it from you, but at the same time fearing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not accepted from you. And that's why even building, one of the greatest structure on earth, the Kaaba, structure-wise, the Kaaba itself, Prophet Ibrahim and Prophet Ismail, they used to supplicate to Allah, Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta sami'ul alim. O our Lord, accept from us. Indeed, you are the all-knowing, all-hearing. Wa tub alayna innaka anta tawwabur rahim. And forgive us and accept our repentance. For indeed, you are the one who accepts repentance and the one who is most merciful. And so that's why a person, even in state of prayer, you should be thinking about, you know, in all of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the same time, thinking about the sins that you have committed. And if you're, you know, if you're alone and you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your deeds and fearing the punishment of Allah and you're crying as a result of it, that's, of course, that's something that is that's something that we need to do more more often as Muslims. And that's those are the people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shade on the day of judgment, on the day in which there will be no shade except for the shade of Allah.
Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh. A very thorough answer and very appreciated as well. Jazakumullah khair to Lynn, who asked the question. With that, Sheikh, I know we're tight on time, so we don't get a chance to benefit more from you. But inshallah, I don't know if it's confirmed from your end, but a little birdie told me that you are teaching, inshallah, very soon after Ramadan, your second virtual seminar with Al Maghrib Institute. So it's not going to be too much of a wait. You're also going to see Sheikh Abdul Bari, inshallah, this Sunday on our webinar at 1 p.m. EST. So we'll get a chance to benefit from you. Alhamdulillah, welcome to Al Maghrib's online programming, Sheikh. We can't wait to.
Jazakumullah khair. I'm honored to be part of it. Alhamdulillah. Jazakumullah khair.
Barakallahu feek, Sheikh. All right, inshallah, we will see you very soon online this Sunday and then continuing, inshallah, into the rest of the year. For now, Jazakumullah khair for being part of our program today. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi.
Awesome sauce. And inshallah, just before we go into our Quran reflect session today, jazakallah khair to everyone who's dropping their gems and their the things that stood out to them in this past session. Just a reminder, the link that we mentioned earlier, and I'll drop it in for as it gets lost in the chat, but it's hhrd.com/Al Maghrib. And actually, if you want to, inshallah, do even more than the food packages, the one cool thing on the page is that alhamdulillah, you have like a shopping cart or like a ton of options in terms of the ways that you can benefit the less fortunate this Ramadan, inshallah, especially as you're trying to multiply and get as much as you can out of the last little bit of the month. There's a lot of different programs depending on what speaks to you, what you want to continue, inshallah, supporting, things that you've been looking to support, inshallah, the Turkey Syria relief, shelter relief, water and sanitization, other ways to, you know, have Sadaqa Jariya, continuing charity, inshallah, for you after you pass as well. Orphan support, please have a look at the page, inshallah, click through the link and you can support whatever speaks to you as well. But of course, those food packages, that's the most essential need of existence. Please make sure that you give as much as you humanly can, and every reminder is beneficial. So I will stress this as much as possible. Once again, it's hhrd.org/Al Maghrib. Jazakallah khair, everyone. With that being said, I do want to bring on Sheikh Ahmed. Sheikh Ahmed, we get good and we get bad with our timing with you, but alhamdulillah, you always join us with a smile, and you, I know, forgive us in your heart of hearts. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa rahmatullah. I'm doing great. Alhamdulillah. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, doing very, very well. Alhamdulillah, it's been a great session of reminders. I like the red background sticking around with us today. To be honest, I almost prefer it to the purple. Don't tell Al Maghrib that. but we're excited to reflect with you, Sheikh.
Surah Al-Mudathir,
verses 11 to 20, inshallah.
Inshallah, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillahi wa ba'd. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Before we get into Surah Mudassir, we have to go into a preamble of the surah so to be able to better understand this, and I'm sure that Sheikh Yahya, probably mentioned in detail. I wasn't able to hear his part. I just came in late a little bit, but I'm sure that he was able to cover on the story of why Surah Mudassir was revealed. I'm not sure, or maybe he stick to the story of Walid ibn Mughira. I'm not sure if that was covered. But coming back, the word Mudassir and Muzzammil, these two surahs, they were revealed, and they were revealed in a simultaneous time. There's an ikhtilaf, a little bit about when which surah came first, was it Mudassir or Muzzammil? But a really interesting part about this element of a Mudassir is that Arabs in general, they would have, whenever they would have clothings, they would have two names for clothings. So any type of cloth that is touching your skin, it's touching your skin, that cloth is called shi'ar. That type of cloth is called shi'ar. I.e., it's called shi'ar because you feel it, you sense it, it touches your skin, and tash'uruhu, you can sense that you've got you've got something on. And anything that was worn on top, like a cloak or an ibaya, the bisht that sometimes the Arabs wear, that was called iddithar. That was called dithar. So there are two different types. So over here, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Ya ayyuhal muddathir, or the story of muddathir, it is denoting the fact, and the word dathar or iddithar, the actual word in Arabic language over here was al-mutadathir. So the word was al-mutadathir. Now, because the pronunciations are very close, the Arabs generally like to remove one of the words and join it. So they, instead of saying al-mutadassir, they said al-muddassir. That's why the shadda comes. Similarly, al-mutazammil, and it turned into al-muzzammil. So that shadda, an Arab will look at it, the ones who know Arabic, and say, oh, the shadda denotes that there was a ta that was missing there. Okay, otherwise there's no need for a shadda over there. So al-muddassir basically means something that is covered. So whenever you look at a city or a ruins of the city, indasarat al-qariya, that this village has been, you know, covered up with layers and layers and layers, and now you cannot see the actual remains or ruins of the city. Similarly, over here, this denotes that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came and he saw that scene, he was waiting for wahi, and he saw Jibreel alayhi salam for the first time in an actual form in the sky. Yamla'u as-sama, the entire world, like the entire horizon, was filled with Jibreel alayhi salam, and Jibreel alayhi salam looking down at Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That led to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam feeling this awe and this frightened feeling for himself, and he was in a shock. And then he ran to his wife, Khadija radiallahu anha, and he said, Zammiluni, zammiluni, dassiruni, dassiruni. I'll cover all of these both words because they're important for us to understand that. So dassiruni basically means that I'm very cold, and cover me up in multiple layers of cloth. I am already wearing cloth, but give me another one or two or three blankets so I can feel warm very quickly. So al-muddassir, the one who is covered, basically means he was already wearing a clothing, he's already covered, but the one who is covered with external clothes, and iddithar muddassir, the one who's covered multiple layers of clothes. Now, muzammil, on the other hand, is when you're covered with these external clothes, but you cling onto them. So sometimes you're wearing your shawl or something and you hold onto it like this. Okay, when you grab that cloak and you're holding it and you wrap it around and you're holding it tight. That is called muzammil. Zammalahu, that he grabbed it and he held on to it out of this. And what is this denoting about the state of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? See, that's the whole point. He was extremely afraid. He was afraid. He was in a shock, anxious, anxiety. Some of the brothers that, you know, or sisters that I deal with sometimes, when they say, you know, when they're having a panic attack, how does it feel? You feel cold or you feel hot? You feel cold, right? You feel extremely cold. You feel like somebody, you touch the hand of somebody who's having a panic attack. They're not very like warm. They're cold to touch. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he saw all of that, he did not know what was going on. And he was literally having, at that moment, a panic attack. He was shivering. He was having a panic attack. And these subtle statements that, and what's the point? Like the two surahs, they came right after it, and they're talking about the same incident. It is for you and me to actually understand there's a difference between muzammil and muddassir, and the imagery is that he was covered in multiple layers of warm clothes, but not only that, that was not enough for him to keep him warm. He was in a state where he was like holding on to these clothes like this. And then he talks to his wife, Khadija radiallahu anha. And Khadija radiallahu anha, she says, why are you afraid? Because you are the one that takes care of the ones who have nobody that takes cares of. You are the ones that, you know, you fulfill the ties of kinship. You bear the loads and burdens of those who don't have anyone to bear any burdens and loads for them. You literally lift things and objects that are needed for a woman that is in need. You're doing all of that. La yukhzika Allahu abada. Allah is never, don't be afraid about these things. This is not going to, like, don't be shaken. This is nothing. Your God has not forsaken you. Allah is not going to leave you. And over here comes the role of a woman in a man's life. Okay. And yes, you know, each one has a separate role. No matter how much the West wants to tell you that we're all equal and same, we are equal in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we're absolutely different when it comes to our roles in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are things that are an obligation on a woman and there are things that are an obligation on a man. It doesn't matter how much a woman wants to get the ajr of a Jum'ah, Allah has not obligated her for Jum'ah. Right? It's not there. Like, you will get the ajr of the fard salah, but the Jum'ah is not an obligation on a woman. There are different roles. Similarly, no matter how much a father wants to get the reward of being a mother and having, you know, a Jannah tahta akhdami, the Jannah is underneath her feet. You know, he's like, oh, I've been working all day long, man. I need this. It's not going to work. Allah has these roles separated. Now, here comes the role of Khadija radiallahu anha. And she says, she becomes that cornerstone. She becomes that peg. She becomes that foundation that every man, you know, is longing for, that the partner in their life, when they are out there with the struggles and they're hit with difficulties, they come and they meet their partners, and their partners are there to say, no, I've got your back. Right? I've got your back. And that is the biggest support a man needs. I was reading an article, and they found that 87% of CEOs, there was a business magazine at the airport that I was reading, and it said 87% of successful CEOs have very, very influential, thought-provoking, i.e. they're really intellectual women that are behind that CEO, but they're not working. Most CEOs' wives don't work. They're there as a moral support, so when the CEO comes back with the battles of the world, that wife is there to give that man that support that is needed. And that's what you see Khadija radiallahu anha doing. Not only that, Khadija radiallahu anha, she's like, let me go and get, I can solve this issue for you. I've got that network I can connect with. So she goes, and keep in mind, Khadija radiallahu anha was not a woman that was staying home. Like, she had a full-fledged business. She was, it is mentioned that, you know, I did a whole lecture on Khadija radiallahu anha, and, you know, people were shocked. Like, Khadija radiallahu anha knew Rasulullah when he was a child. And she was already ready to marry. Like, she was like, I need to marry this man. Because she already saw signs in the Sira books. If you read, she knew that this is the Nabi. But she waited for 25 years to marry Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she was ready for that moment, right? And she prepared herself. And there's lots of narrations about that. But come back over here, Khadija radiallahu anha, she equated for one-fifth of Makkah's, her wealth equated for one-fifth of Makkah's economy. I want you guys to understand that. Like, the Makkah's trade that took place, all of that Hajj, Umrah, all of that, she single-handedly controlled one-fifth of, Khadija radiallahu anha controlled one-fifth of the economy. Right? So she was also a very active woman in work. Like, you know, sometimes she was like, oh, stay home. But her priority was house, and her work was not at the expense. Her house did not suffer because of the work she did. Throughout, even when she had all the five kids, she ran her own business. She never gave it away. She was an entrepreneur woman. She had people that was working for her. And the type of business she was involved with was trade. Buy this from here and sell it expensive over here. Kind of like people do with Amazon. Buy something from China and sell it for $10. Buy it for $2, send it for $10. But her focus had always been her house. And now she takes Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and says, let's go to Warqat ibn Nawfal. And the entire story of Warqat ibn Nawfal. And Warqat ibn Nawfal says, that person or this thing that you saw is not shaitan. It is an angel. And that is an-namus. This is the angel. This is the angel Jibreel, and he came to other prophets, and you are one of the prophets. And he says, if I was young and I get to live, I would fight with you when your people will kick you out of the city. So this is the entire, you know, the entire scene has been encapsulated by this one word, Ya Ayyuhal Muddassir, which sometimes is, you know, not, you know, we don't appreciate the nuances of that. I hope that was beneficial for some people, inshallah. Okay, let me just open this. Surah Al-Muddassir. Okay, Bismillah. All right. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Let me just set my... Okay, let's start bringing people up. I think we're starting from Surah, verse number 10. ذَرْنِي وَمَنْ خَلَقْتُ وَحِيدًا. All right, do you want to bring people up
to recite? Yes, let's get some hands, inshallah, to get some reciters up. Bismillah. I saw, who did I see first? I think I saw Ammar Omar first. So, inshallah, I'll let you go first. Please unmute whenever you're ready, inshallah. And let's hear from you, bismillah.
Do you guys see the screen no?
Yes, I see the screen. Hold on. I don't think I see verse 10, though.
Let me just see again. I don't see it. Oh, now I see it. Okay. Perfect. Okay. Wa alaikum
salam. From ayah, what? Which ayah?
Right here, number 11. Dharni. Okay. Dharni wa man khalaqtu wahida.
Until which ayah? Inshallah.
Read three verses, please.
Okay. Dharni wa man khalaqtu wahida. A'udhu billah. A'udhu billahi min shaytan rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Dharni wa man khalaqtu wahida.
Slow down. Slow down and start with a'udhu billah and slow down and read it slowly the way you started first.
ذرني ومن خلقت وحيدا وجعلت له مالا ممدودا وبنين شهودا.
جميل جزاك الله خير. So this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the first few verses talks about, you know, the things that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked to do, right? That ya ayyuhal muddassir, qum fa'andhir, get up and warn people. You know, وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be the number one in your life, i.e. there should be nobody greater than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your life. And all of that is being told. Then Allah talks about قِيَامَ, فَإِذَا نُقِرَ فِي النَّاقُورِ, when the trumpet is going to, you know, when the trumpet is going to be blown. فَذَلِكَ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَوْمٌ عَسِيرٌ. That day in itself is going to be an extremely difficult day. عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ غَيْرُ يَسِيرٌ. Despite the difficulty, like even the Muslim, non-Muslim, everybody, they're going to face difficulty on that day. But specifically, it is going to be a lot more difficult for those people who are the disbelievers. Okay. Then Allah talks about this person. ذَرْنِي وَمَنْ خَلَقْتُ وَحِيدًا. ذَرْنِي. Allah says, leave. Now, so here's the interesting part. Okay, this is one of the most difficult verses to understand in the Quran. Okay, this verse has seven different translations. And if we do those seven different translations with different Arabic, you know, most of us are going to, you know, break their fast by the end of it. They're going to be like, I need water. This is too much, right? So we're gonna touch on a few of the translations. And I hope that I'm able to explain this. Like, this is one of those verses where I would tell you that I probably, despite the fact that I knew the meanings, every time I come to teach this verse, I pick up tafsirs and I'm sitting there. I'm like, what is Allah trying to tell me here? Like, this is not working. Like, there are things not working. There's so many things happening in this simple verse that you're like, what's wahida? Who is wahida? Like, and all of these things. So let me explain this. So first part, dharni, by the consensus, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking and saying, leave me. I.e., let me deal with Walid ibn Mughira. Right? We all heard the story of Walid ibn Mughira, right? So I don't need to get into that story, correct? Okay, all right. Give me a nod. Those of you that have a camera, I can just see your heads. Good. All right, great. So, ذَرْنِي, Allah is like, leave me, i.e. let me handle this Walid ibn Mughira person. Now, here are the meaning changes. This wahida part, it can either refer to Allah. So, which means, ذَرْنِي وَحِيدًا, leave me all by myself to take care of Walid ibn Mughira. وَمَنْ خَلَقْتُ, the one I created, i.e. Walid ibn Mughira. So, ذَرْنِي وَحِيدًا. So, this wahida is supposed to be here, but it came out later to emphasize. ذَرْنِي, leave me. وَمَنْ خَلَقْتُ, this person that I have created, i.e. Walid ibn Mughira. وَحِيدًا, leave me alone to him. I will handle and I will take care of him. Give me a one if you understand that part. Okay? Okay, good. Second meaning, right? Second meaning, ذَرْنِي, leave me. وَمَنْ خَلَقْتُ وَحِيدًا. So comma over here, ذَرْنِي, leave me. And this entire sentence says one. وَمَنْ خَلَقْتُ وَحِيدًا. The one I created all by himself alone. I.e. this Walid ibn Mughira came in this world alone.
He didn't have anybody. He didn't have any power. He didn't have any money. He was all by himself alone. So leave me and this one that I created all by himself. He was alone. He had nobody. Okay. Give me a one if you get, give me a two if you get this understanding. Okay, good. Third understanding. Dharni, leave me. Okay, dharni, leave me, i.e. Allah is saying, leave me. وَمَنْ خَلَقْتُ وَحِيدًا, and I created him alone, i.e. there was nobody involved other than me in his creation. I was the sole creator of this person. Is that making sense? Give me a three if you get that. You guys ready for a fourth? If you're ready for a fourth, we'll do a fourth. Okay. The fourth one is dharni, leave me. وَمَنْ خَلَقْتُ وَحِيدًا, and this one, i.e. Walid ibn Mughira, خَلَقْتُ, I created him, وَحِيدًا, there is nobody like him in this dunya in the dumbness of this person. وَحِيدًا, i.e. he's the singular example of this. You know, Allah had given him all the money, all the wealth, all the power, all the thing, and at the end of the day, they, you know, he's still so dumb. He is so wahid, one and singular in his stupidness of denying Allah's message. This person, there is no example of higher stupidity than this person. Okay? Some of you might need your water bottles by this time. Right? There are other meanings too, but you know, that would just, I think this is good for now. And I wanted to present this because sometimes we pick up one translation. Leave me, the one I created by myself, which is one of the meanings. خَلَقْتُهُ وَحِيدًا, I created him by myself. I.e. وَحِيدًا, there was nobody involved in this creation other than me. I was the sole creator of him. Right? Sometimes we will see that there are differences between the different schools of thought in an understanding of the Quran or in an understanding of the word. And we're going to be like, oh, but the ayah, I read the English translation, the ayah says this. And yeah, but like the ayah has seven other translations that are accommodated in that Arabic language, which was never translated for you, my friend. So you can't say this is batil, this is not right, because I picked up an English translation. I'm like, oh, boom, that's clear. It's very clear. It's absolutely clear. And I'll give you an example of that. I was sitting with some of the scholars, and there was this young dude. And, you know, this person needed to be, you know, he needed to be whooped in adab. So you know, he was there and he was like debating with, guess who was he? Like he was talking to, like, you know, like he's arguing with like Dr. Zakir Naik. And he's like, your opinion is wrong. Right. So he's like, we're having iftar. We're in Mecca. We're all sitting together and we're having iftar. This guy, like, I think he's a third year university student or something like that. I don't know what he thinks he was. And he comes and he's like, yeah, this is like this, which statement you said is batil. There is no dalil for that. Right? So it's like they're all sitting there. And Dr. Tawfiq Chaudhary was there too, in that gathering, right? So he's sitting there and they're all looking. And I'm just looking at this buffoon, like, you're about to get like swallowed by these two giant scholars. And you're like, you know, and he had, you know, he had good sincerity, but his approach was really bad. So he says, look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ. So over here, it is absolutely clear, right, that nur means guidance. And there is no other meaning. So all the translations and anybody who says anything other than that is, you know, is batil and this and that. And he was like, you know, we have to call out this haqq and this is the path of justice. And I don't know what he was saying. And then, you know, there was a third scholar there. I don't want to mention him because he said, don't mention this. He was there and he says, listen, Habibi, let me just open this tafsir book for you. So he opens a tafsir al-wajiz. He opens this tafsir book and he says, can you read Arabic? You're a third year university student. He picks up and he says, the word nur, according to the salaf, has like four different understandings. Wal-kitab, ja'akum min Allahi nurun wa kitabun. And kitab has also four different understandings. So this ayah has a total of eight different possible meanings. And you just got to know just one of those eight. So I think you have a long way to go, brother. I think you should go and you know, read some books before you come and start pointing fingers at the scholars who have been serving for da'wah. And that is the case. This is the example of that, right? If you just go up a little bit over here, وَالرُّجْزَ فَهْجُرْ. Where is it? So وَالرُّجْزَ فَهْجُرْ. Or وَثِيَابَكَ فَتَحِرْ. وَثِيَابَكَ. There's eight opinions of what وَثِيَابَ means over here. You just know your clothing. Eight different. وَالرُّجْزَ. And I, you know what? Just as a sample, I'll actually do it for you guys. So, you know, so you understand, like sometimes these things are not visceral, but like since we're touching this surah, and this surah has like so much nuance that we can't even like begin to touch on the type of things that are there in the surah. So wathiyabaka, where is it? Wathiyabaka. I'll quickly, because I'm not going to remember these off the top of my head, right? Warabbaka wathiyabaka fiha thamaniyata aqwal. There are eight opinions about that. Okay. Number one, that wathiyabaka fatahir, do not mix up sins with treachery. That's one meaning. Second, لا تكن ثيابك مكسوبا غير طاهر. Make sure that your clothes are pure and they don't have any impurities. Number three, طهر نفسك من الذم. Thiyab is the ruh of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Cleanse your ruh from all the sins. Number four, وثيابك فطهر. Your a'mal are a cloth. Your amal is a cloth. So Allah is saying that purify your amal. وَعَمَلُكَ فَأَصْلِحْ. Make sure that your a'mal are pure. Number five, وَخُلُقُكَ فَحَسِّنْ. Make sure that your akhlaq, your khuluq, your character is beautified. Number six, وَثِيَابَكَ فَقَصِّرْ وَشَمِّرْ. I.e. roll up your sleeves and show that you're ready to do ibadah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The seventh one, وَقَلْبَكَ فَطَهِّرْ. Purify your heart. Thiyab is your heart. The purest portion in your, you know, the biggest, you know, thawb that you have is the thawb of your heart, the cloth, the covering of your heart. That, make sure you purify. وَثَامِنْ اِغْسِلْ ثِيَابَكَ بِالْمَا. Go and clean your clothes with water. Those are all meanings that were mentioned by the three generations, early generations, documented in our tafsir. Okay. Similarly, Warrujza has so many. So, you know, one day I did this class and I showed them, like, you know, this example by showing them all of these examples, and they were like, oh my God, like we haven't even touched. Like when we talk about a translation and when somebody says your clothing purify, we have left almost 1/8. We only got 1/8 of that ayah. The remaining, you know, 7/8 meanings of the ayah were completely not even mentioned in the Quran. So I hope that gives you the appreciation that when we're doing, tafsir. And here's the interesting part. All the ikhtilafat of tafsir are very different from the ikhtilafat of fiqh, right? This is turning into more of an ulum al-Quran class than a reflection. I don't know if you guys are getting bored, but anyhow. but what is happening is that all the ikhtilafat, differences that are found between the mufassirun, they are ikhtilafat of tanawwu', i.e. this adds multiplicity of meanings to that verse. Whereas the differences that happen between the fuqaha, between the people who are jurists, their differences are ikhtilaf of tadad. Their differences are ikhtilaf, which creates, it creates more separation, i.e. ikhtilaf of tadad, that one says haram, the other says makruh, the one says halal, the other says mustahab, i.e. they're two opposites. They don't add nuances, rather they separate and they create more polarization within the madhab, rather than creating a tanawwu or deeper meaning, inshallah. So, this is not an Ulum al-Quran course, but I don't know why it started. Anyhow, let's come back. So over here, ذَرْنِي وَمَنْ خَلَقْتُ وَحِيدًا. Allah is saying, leave me and the one I created alone. وَجَعَلْتُ لَهُ مَالًا مَمْدُودًا. And we have created for him مَالًا, money, مَمْدُودًا, extensive. Now, when we say مَالًا مَمْدُودًا, it needs to have three basic characteristics or three basic things, okay? Number one, مَالًا مَمْدُود, it needs to have abundance. It must be a lot of money. Otherwise, it's not called Malam Mamdu. Okay, that's number one. Number two, it has to be ever-present. It cannot deplete. Okay, it has to be ever-present. And Malan Mamdud, that's a third category of Malan Mamdud, money that is extensive, which is, you know, a translation or abundant wealth. But Malan Mamdud is that your cash flow, the cash flow is غير منقطع. Nothing cuts your cash flow. So there's a constant cash flow coming, right? So three things, okay? Abundance, number two, permanence. Number three, consistence, i.e. it's consistently, there's a cash flow is consistent. When all these three qualities are found in any types, any person's wealth, that is called malan mamdud. Okay? Wabanina shuhuda, and he had, you know, children that were present. He had in one qawl 7, in one qawl 12, in another opinion 14, in another opinion 15. So they had a lot of children. Wamahattu lahu tamhida, and we made in life extremely easy for him. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying here? He's saying that, look, everything was going right for this person. Everything was going right for this person. Everything was given to him. But then what happened? Right? ثُمَّ يَطْمَعُ أَنْ أَزِيدُ. He wants more. Right? He wants more. The word over here, ثُمَّ يَطْمَعُ أَنْ أَزِيدُ, has multiple meanings again. One of the two primary meanings that is off the top of my head that I can think of right now is yatma'u an azid, that he wants more in more, he has hunger for more wealth in this dunya. And number two is yatma'u an azid, that he has this tama', he has this desire that Allah is going to give him Jannah without actually ever believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya. Kalla. Innahu kana li ayatina anida. When Allah gives somebody wealth, and it is not coupled with the first part of this ayah, the surah, right here. وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ. If Allah is not the greatest in your life, and Allah gives you wealth, then the net result usually is this. كَلَّا إِنَّهُ كَانَ لِآيَاتِنَا عَنِيدًا. That person ends up becoming stubborn when the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are recited to them. Because they look at all of this abundance of wealth and they look at all of this and they say, I mean, like, Allah has given me pretty, I'm doing pretty well, man. Look at you, man. You've got a problem. I'm good. Like, God's done me solid. Like, you know, you need to worry about your God and your connection. Like, look at what I got, right? Even in Surah Kahf, where Allah says, وَلَئِن رُدِدْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا. Munqalaba. If I return back to my Rabb, all I'm gonna get is what I got here. When I return back, it's gonna be even better than here. Khayran minha munqalaba. I will return back with way better than what I've been given in this earth. And that wishful thinking. And then Allah is like, Saurhiquhu sa'uda. I just don't have the time to break down this word for you guys. Right. It's just there's so much happening here, right? Irhaq and what it means and why Allah is talking about, you know, simple as that. Sindul murahaqa, for those of you that know what this is, right? Teenage, right? Teenagers. So there's a direct connection between urhiq and teenagers, right? Teenagehood is basically when the person, for the parent, it's called sindul murahiq, yani arhaqahu. That, you know, there's when parents have teenagers, you can't think of anything else but those teenagers. Like, oh my God, this did this, she did this, he did this, she did this. And they are literally make you go crazy. And what ends up happening is your entire life and your thought is covered by that age of theirs and their behavior and their rebellion and all of that. Over here, أَرْهَقَ يُرْهِقُ basically means that on that day, Allah is saying, سَأُرْهِقُهُ سَعُودًا, that he, you know, his, you know, it says, I will make his fate unbearable. But what it means is Allah is going to intensify the pressure, the adab for this person in a way that he will have unbearable mental torture when he is going to be punished on that day. And that punishment is going to be that he's going to have to work for that punishment. So he's going to have to work only to get punished, not to get rewarded at the end of the work. May Allah protect us from that. And inshallah, إِنَّهُ كَانَ إِنَّهُ فَكَّرَ وَقَدَّرَ فَقُتِلَ كَيْفَ قَدَّرَ ثُمَّ قُتِلَ كَيْفَ قَدَّرَ. Right? He created few statements in his fakkar. He thought, and he said, man, he started making labels about Quran. He's like, you know, I think I should do this about that. Quran should be called this. Quran should be called this. He started making all of these labels to sway people away from the message. So Allah is like, فَقُتِلَ. When Allah uses the word فَقُتِلَ, that means that that person is, you know, لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. That Allah is like, you know, let the la'na be upon this person. كَيْفَ قَدَّرْ. What type of estimations and words do you think you set in your mind? He hasn't even uttered them yet. ثُمَّ قُتِلَ كَيْفَ قَدَّرْ. Allah is like, you know, this is not enough. Another la'na on you. How dare and evil, you know, did you think and you determine these things about this Quran? How dare you do that? I mean, this entire surah is just so powerful. We're just like touching the tip of the iPhone, you know. Anyhow, we're supposed to stop at 20, right? This is not fair. You guys take away time from me, and then I'm supposed to like squeeze all of these things.
Did we not finish though? We stopped at 20.
I pushed through.
You did, mashallah. You always push through.
Alhamdulillah. Maybe I need to do my, you know, my own donation one day. I'm like, you know, like, I'm coming in, I'm doing donation, I'm taking over the entire show. I'm like, it's you my can. Show.
You're more than welcome to, inshallah. Get that ajr, inshallah.
Inshallah. Barakallahu fik. They're doing iqama in the masjid. I need to go. Inshallah. Barakallahu fikum. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh. Another amazing session for the books. And subhanAllah, this is our second last week now. And inshallah, there's a few more sessions, a handful of them left with Sheikh Ahmed Salim. And he's going to take us all the way into the end of Ramadan. And of course, we have Ustadha Taymiya tomorrow and Dr. Muhannad Hakim coming over this weekend, inshallah, for our final few sessions. Just one last reminder, guys. And I say this honestly, that they don't even ask me to mention this. I don't have to say anything for when a charity comes on to speak to you guys, to connect with you guys. All I have to do is introduce and pass it to them. This is a personal appeal from my end. Please make sure that you take the opportunity that you have this last, this odd night, inshallah, this blessed night where everything is multiplied, and support HHRD. Whatever campaign calls to you, I personally like the food packages. Yes, there's so much to unwrap. There's so much that we've been learning and reflecting today. And as you want to have barakah in your own ibadah tonight, as you want Allah to accept all your du'as and you know, facilitate for you and grant you ease and accept everything that you're doing in this past, you know, 22 days that we've been spending together, sandwich that with some charity. Always charity always makes things sweeter. It always gives a higher chance of acceptance, inshallah. And especially during this time, make sure that you donate to hhrd.com/almaghrib, inshallah. I'll be joining you in that. As with any appeal that we do, we always, the staff members, the shuyukh, the presenters, were always the first to go in and donate. So I encourage you guys to do that as well. And inshallah, we can benefit and we can multiply our deeds together. Tomorrow, inshallah, we're going to jump into the day number 23 of Ramadan 360. It's going to be a busy next few days, inshallah, especially because we have our amazing Miracle Universe webinar coming up this weekend. Once again, if you have not RSVP'd for that, that's at ramadan360.org/miracle. And make sure you do that, especially because honestly, this Ramadan has been the Ramadan of the Quran for me. I feel like the way that I'm connecting, the way that I'm reflecting, the way that it's popping out to me is so different than it has been in the past couple of years. I hope that you guys have been feeling that as well. Inshallah, the topic is a miracle in a verse for this webinar that we have this Sunday, inshallah, at 1 p.m. EST. And all of our instructors are going to be sharing some of the verses of the Quran that really shook them, that changed their perspective, that changed their lives, and that where it was their catalyst for connection with the Quran, inshallah. So please do join us, RSVP there, and we'll see you guys, inshallah, on Sunday at 1 p.m. And of course, tomorrow we're being joined by one of our favorites. You guys really, really enjoyed him yesterday. A few days ago, Sheikh Yahya Ibrahim is coming back, and his topic is going to be No Good News for the Wicked, Surat al-Furqan, verses number 21-29. Sorry, the words are getting past me. Inshallah, we'll see you guys then. Jazakumullah khair for your consistency and your loyalty. And may Allah put barakah on your ibadah tonight. Please keep us in your du'as as always. For now, take care, stay happy, stay healthy, stay safe, and assalamu alaikum.